I don't know what's more confusing, learning astrology or just being a human. Moonday Musings is here to help with that. A weekly no-bullshit guide for the upcoming cosmic forecast and how you can actually use this in your real life. Hello, neighbor, and happy finally Moonday. Welcome to this week's episode of Moonday Musings. I'm Danny. I'm That Witch Next Door, your host of That Witch podcast. And if this is your first episode here on the show, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. If this is not your first time, thank you so much for coming back. There's been a couple of weeks recently that we've had to randomly shift this into midweek musings, but we are back on Moonday. It looks like for the foreseeable future as well. I love when the holidays are over. I love the holidays. Don't get me wrong. I am not a Scroogey McGrinch, but I do also really like when they're done. Getting back to some normalcy. So in this week's astrological news, we've got a big few things happening. We've got a new moon in Capricorn on the 111 portal. We've got an asteroid stationing retrograde, a big void of course moon. So we have lots to talk about. We want to dive right into it. Let's get started by looking over our moon scope for the week after we, of course, do our top of the week self check-in. So what we like to do, if you haven't been here before, is just get into a nice, centered, grounded place so that we can really open up and receive this week's astrological energy to its most effective potential for us. And one of the best ways we can do that is we can all kind of like stretch, move our body a little, especially if it's been sitting or standing or doing the same thing for a long period of time. Kind of move your arms up above your head and around. You can roll out your ankles, squeeze your hands, squeeze your toes. If you feel called to close your eyes right now, you most certainly can do so. If that's safe wherever you are, we're going to take a really nice, big, deep cleansing breath in through the nose and go ahead and inhale now. A nice full breath to fill up your chest. And when it can't get filled anymore, go ahead and open up your mouth and exhale all of that out. Make your exhale a little longer than your inhale. Really push that out. And then as soon as you're ready, open up those nostrils again. Do a nice big full inhale breath through the nose. Maybe even hold for just a moment at the top, fullest part of that breath, and open your mouth. Exhale, sigh it out, push all that air out. And lastly, really make this one count. A big, deep breath in through your nose. Feel that cleansing, grounding energy running all the way through you, filling you up. And now, exhale and blow away, push out, exhale. Anything you don't need right now, anything not serving us in this moment. You can let your breath kind of return to a normal pace. And here in this space that we've now breathed into and created for ourselves, we want to open ourselves up to our full experience by listening right now to our bodies, to our thoughts, any emotions or sensations coming through. When we take this moment to pause and do a nice, good quality self-check-in like this, and we're able to even temporarily let go of some distractions or some things we've had to be paying attention to, some of these other little signs or messages or little pokes or prods will come out from our body or our mind or our soul body to us. And I want you to just acknowledge these as these come through, whether it's a little bit of tension, whether it's a specific thought that came to you or is repeatedly coming to you, if there's a particular just real vibe to your energy right now, if you're just feeling particularly down or if you're feeling particularly filled up. Anywhere in between or outside of that. But whatever it is, we're not judging it. We're not even really analyzing it, honestly. We're just kind of allowing whatever that is to be reaching out and to receive that information from our bodies. And this is the reason that this is such an effective way to step into astrology is, number one, we let go of any kind of like demand in a lot of ways. So if we're feeling like particularly emotional, hypersensitive, anxious, worried, angry, sad, grief-stricken, all of those things are totally valid. And if we show up to astrology hastily in any of those states, the way that the information comes to us and looks to us and sounds to us is honestly going to reflect all of that energy right back at us. So it's so much more effective to get to a nice, neutral, regulated place first, and then we'll step into this week's forecast. Now, I always like right after the self-check-in to go into the moon scope for the week, because the moon in astrology represents our emotional state. And so this is an excellent informative place to start. So this Moonday Musings, this is for starting today, Monday, January 8th through Sunday, January 14th, 2024, baby. And the moon is starting this week in Sagittarius. We are pre-new moon, but the new moon portal will open tomorrow, Tuesday, January 9th in the evening at 8:33 p.m. when the moon moves into Capricorn and activates or opens up that new moon portal. And the moon will stay in Capricorn all the way through late Thursday evening, Eastern time, January 11th, we'll have our new moon at 6:57 a.m. at 20 degrees of Capricorn. And then at 10:01 p.m. Eastern time, the moon is going to move into Aquarius, where it stays until Saturday evening when it moves into Pisces. And we're going to finish out the weekend with a moon in Pisces. So the moon is mainly through that quadrant of the chart, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces right now. Kind of larger concept signs. The energy of the placements from Sagittarius through Pisces, this is big picture, the larger concept at hand, zooming out. All of these signs kind of have this natural approach to life in general. It's why it's not as easy to ruffle their feathers. It's why all of these signs are kind of known for being cool as a cucumber in various aspects of their life. If you notice that, all of them kind of share that in common. And it's nice, especially if you're a person very much like me as well, who has placements in some of our other signs that can be extremely detail-oriented, really focused on the day-to-day, which is, of course, necessary. But this can feel like a nice balanced breath of fresh air when the moves into this particular section of the zodiac. Now, this new moon coming up on the 111 portal, the 111 portal, for anyone that's new and doesn't know what that means, I just wanted to give a little bit of an explanation on that today. I don't focus heavily, I would say, into numerology. However, I absolutely use numerology. And it's something that I highly, highly recommend learning for yourself. It's really not that hard. I find that a lot, if not most people, kind of overcomplicate this in their earlier stages of divination or astrology study or tarot practice, or just they're finally starting to pay attention to those angel numbers or those spirit numbers that call out to them. And I find that most people enter into a state of self-doubt very naturally and very quickly when it comes to numbers. And it's actually really quite simple. Numerology is fascinating because it is like astrology where it has a domino effect. And once you kind of start peeling back the layers, you can really fall down a rabbit hole in a really, really cool way. Once you start noticing numbers, they just kind of like really start blossoming all around you. That's kind of the effect that I'm trying to describe. But as far as the actual meaning goes, I see people overthink this and enter into a place of self-doubt very, very, very quickly. And here's the most common question that I get when it comes to this. Danny, and this is honestly one of the most common questions I get in my life. Yes, in my career, but honestly, just in general, this is literally anyone that knows that I'm a witch or they find out that I study astrology. It just makes me laugh because I really wish that I had some kind of like counting ticker so that I had some sort of inkling of how many times it's been asked to me, because it's got to be hundreds. It's so many times. That's why I wanted to talk about it today when I saw the new moon was on the 111 portal. So the most common question I get is, Danny, I'm seeing all these numbers come up, 333, 555, or people will come to me and be like, no, it's not just that. Mine are even crazier than that. It'll be like 12112 or 3357533, like mirrored numbers, like palindromes like that. Some people, it's specifically a single digit number that keeps chasing them. Some people, it's the repeated numbers, like they're seeing just 44444 all the time. Some people, it's double numbers, so seeing 1010, 1212, things like that. I want you to know that our brains like numbers. Even when we're not looking at the symbol for the number, meaning when we are visually looking at something or surveying a group of anything, our brain likes to group and count and total up these things and organize and analyze in that way. So know right off the bat that your connection with numbers and them chasing you like that, you already have that connection. It's already there. You don't need to seek somebody necessarily with a gift outside of you. Of all things, of all forms of intuitive practice or divination practices, I swear, numbers is probably one of the great equalizers, or just one of the things that we're all almost equally good at as one another, because it can really be simple. So first, I want to just give a quick disclaimer here that if you really want to go into the energy specifically of this new moon and what it means this week, I want you to go back one episode from this and listen to our shadow chats with Ashley Michelle for this month, the Capricorn new moon episode. Oh my God, it's so good. It was such a friggin' Capricorn new moon episode. So if you're looking for that actual energy, go back. We're not going to go into that very much. I wanted to use this mainly to talk about portal days like this, using the 111 portal as an example. The first thing that you want to do is look up the meanings of each number of the digits 0 to 9. And then I would encourage you to also look up 10, 11, 12, and 13. In numerology, once things go into double digits, we tend to reduce them or simplify them by adding the digits together. So taking the number 14 and doing 1 plus 4 and reducing that to 5. However, even the number 14 also has its own significance. For example, you could look at the 14th card in the major arcana and get an interpretation of the energy of the number 14 from that. But the main numbers that you want to have a solid understanding of are digits 0 through 9. And then again, personally, I'd also add on to that 10, 11, 12, and 13, because those are also really significant, very magical, sacred numbers. The meanings of them, as far as where to get that information, I encourage you to actually get it from a variety of sources. So that you, it's very, very similar to how I teach and what I recommend to my students learning how to read a birth chart. You want to learn about the first house from a variety of sources. You want to learn about Venus, the planet, from a variety of sources. The more sources you learn about those basics from, the more well-rounded your understanding of them is going to be. So you don't, a lot of people, when they come to me with that question, Danny, I'm seeing these chase me everywhere. What does it mean if they're mirrored numbers? What does it mean, you know, like I said, my most common question is people come to me with the numbers question. Almost every single one of those people, almost every single one that has asked me that, also said, I kind of tried to look something up online, but I found so many different things and I didn't know what was credible or not. I want you to purposefully look at a bunch of different sources. So first of all, if you're interested in it and you want to like check out a book on numerology from your library, for example, that's a great source. But you can also look at all of those different websites and compare and contrast them with one another instead of viewing them as one of them is more right than the other. I like to take all of those things into consideration and take all of them in as various perspectives from all those people, because for the most part, most of those people are either relaying information they were taught, relaying information they studied, or relaying information that they channeled from God or spirit or source of their ancestors. So everybody has a fascinating perspective to add into it. Don't look at it in such a binary, but it could be wrong or it could be right. If a meaning for a number just flat out, that just doesn't sound right to you, then that meaning doesn't resonate with that digit for you. Then when that digit shows up, it doesn't carry that meaning for you. You can let it go. So don't overthink it. Ones, which we're going to use for our example today, I'm not going to go through each of the digits, but we will talk about the number one today, since this is the 111 portal is what we're talking about. Ones are one of the easiest to remember and to describe, because it's the number one. What do you think? Without me even telling you, without looking it up, if you don't already know, what do you intuitively, what does your gut say the number one could signify? What is the number one in and of itself? It's the first number. It's the first, right? If zero is nothing, one is the first. So new beginnings, the first step, inspiration, anything to do with those big overarching themes, all of those have to do with the number one. Self stuff, independence, doing things alone or having to look within, not going outside of yourself. The answer is within. Or if you've been pointing the finger a bunch, you need to look at the three fingers that are pointing back at you. Those kind of things. All of these are associated with the number one. When we talk about it being a portal, I also personally believe that the meaning of this is subjective as well. I don't think that it has any one meaning. I find that a lot of spiritual educators kind of talk about each of the portals this way. The 10-10 portal, the 8-8 portal, the 12-12. Anytime we have a repeated day like that, it's called a portal. If the numbers repeat, 222, anything like that. And I find that a lot of people put out information in a way that makes it sound like this is exactly what this portal means. It's much more nuanced than that. It really depends on what the number means to each individual person and the stage that they're at in their life. So a new beginning, for example, even though that's this overarching archetype, right? A new beginning. That's a universally understood concept. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter who your family is, no matter how much money you have or how little money you have, what time period you were born in, a new beginning is a truly universal concept. However, what it means to each individual person at any given time lands totally different. And it also looks totally different for each individual person. So knowing that ones are fresh beginnings related to new chapters, independence, looking at self, take all of that meaning when you listen to, or maybe even re-listen to, the Shadow Chats episode with Ashley about this Capricorn new moon, and take that with you. But don't let the word portal — this is the biggest piece of advice I'm going to leave you with about this — do not let the word portal make you feel pressured. Like if you don't do something on that day, you have missed this humongous opportunity. That is something about numerology that bites you in the ass that people don't talk about. In the beginning of like really waking up to the numbers and they're surrounding you, it's easy to invest and attach to their meaning so much that when they go away, or the clock changes time, or the number was almost a spirit number but off by one digit, all these little things, they trigger our human perfectionism. And we think that something loses meaning, we're missing out on something, we lost something, et cetera, et cetera. Don't let yourself get sucked into that way of thinking. Mostly because it's not helpful. It doesn't serve you or anybody else. So the 111 portal or the 88 portal, 222, whatever they are, sometimes I do a special ritual on one of those days because of the number. And maybe it's also kind of like this new moon where maybe there's also a cool astrological aspect also happening that day. But I do not pressure myself. I do the same thing with full moons. If there's a particular full moon really ramping me up and calling me, fuck yeah, I will go full moon witch on the whole entire thing. But I am totally over-energized in a very overwhelming way usually by the full moon. It's very rare that I feel in the mood and called to do a full moon ritual. And I never feel like I am missing out on the magic or I'm losing out on the magic. So that's my last piece of advice for you. If Thursday the 11th comes and goes and you forget to do something and you had really wanted to, I promise you didn't lose out on the magic, okay? You could do it on the 12th still. And I promise that all that magic is there. So the last couple of things I want to mention for this week's forecast as we start moving into our card reading for the week is that on Friday, Juno, the asteroid that represents long-term relationships and partnerships, especially those like marriage, is stationing retrograde in the sign of Virgo, I believe. Check on that. And this is, yes, Friday the 12th, stationing retrograde in Juno. The following day, this all kind of ties in together. I thought it was really interesting. The following day on Saturday the 13th, Mercury moves back into Capricorn again. Mercury stationed retrograde a while back while it was in Capricorn, dipped all the way back into Sagittarius. Then it stationed direct again and started moving forward, went back through the end of Sagittarius and is now entering Capricorn again on Saturday the 13th. So we're almost out of that post-retrograde shadow period. So we have this direct motion from Mercury. Plus, it's in a very forward-thinking, forward-moving sign, like Capricorn. And this brings a lot of clarity and focus and really productive energy, especially because Mars is also currently in Capricorn. But we do have that Juno asteroid stationing retrograde the day before in Virgo, which is also an Earth sign. And we have a big, long, void of course moon also on that same Saturday that Mercury moves into Capricorn. The void of course moon is 17 and a half hours. Let's see. It starts at... The moon goes void of course after 4:58 a.m., and then it stays until 10:29 p.m. Eastern time when it finally ingresses into Pisces. A void of course moon just means that the moon has made its final planetary aspect in the sign that it's currently in. So it makes its final aspect as a moon in Aquarius to Uranus, I believe. Yeah, it squares Uranus. And that's the last aspect that it makes before it moves into Pisces. But it doesn't move into Pisces until 10:29 p.m. that night. So it's a super long void of course. Void of course is not exactly the same, but there's a parallel connection to its version of a retrograde of sorts. It's because the moon isn't making any aspects, this can be interpreted as a time where we feel like a big lack in motivation, or we just kind of feel blah. We feel a little detached in general. Emotional detachment would probably be one of the most commonly used phrases to describe it. The reason I compare it similarly, at least, to a retrograde is because it is not in its usual forward moving movement. Forward moving movement. And this can bring up sometimes similar feelings of like, oh, I know I want to keep doing stuff, but I don't really feel like doing anything. I know I need to keep doing this, or I know I should be doing that right now, but I don't really feel like doing it right now. Again, emotional detachment. I highly recommend this week, since we have this new moon in Capricorn, it's our first new moon of the year, and we're going to get a lot of messaging around new moon intentions, new moon intentions, new moon intentions, right? Your 2024 goal setting. And I'm definitely still a fan of that. Plus, we have Mercury moving into Capricorn and Mars in Capricorn. There's plenty of energy guiding us to that. And when I saw Juno stationing retrograde, and when I saw that big, long void of course moon during Saturday, I wanted to make the note to you, don't beat yourself up, however, if you don't get as much done as you wanted to / thought you were going to. It's okay if there's a few bumps along the way, if there's an event, a conversation, something that happens that comes up and prevents you from executing what you wanted to or how you wanted to. I wanted to remind you to look toward a little bit of extra patience and grace for yourself for this... Sorry, I'm pulling our cards and I got a little distracted. I want you to tap into a little extra patience and grace at the end of this week for yourself, all right? All right, so right off the bat, we're pulling our tarot cards. If you already looked at the email or you didn't already look at the email, either way, right now, I want you to take a nice, big, deep, cleansing breath because we just went over some of that astrology information. And oftentimes our brains are buzzing with different connections and thoughts, trying to make sense of all this and connect it into our life. So take a nice big breath. Put that on the back burner for a second and open yourself up to this reading that we're about to get, which is not going to look excellent. Just being honest with you. So I pulled the Three of Swords for our tarot card, and I pulled Divinity Reversed from the Oracle of Oddities deck. So right off of the bat, this Three of Swords, let's do the swords thing and just jab right in. Three of Swords could indicate some difficulty on the horizon. Based on the sensation I'm personally having as the reader in my body and trying to offer this all out to you, I sense something that is already been taking place or happening right now, feelings that are currently there. Now, these feelings could have happened or these feelings could be arising or currently in place from something that's very, very fresh and happening right now. This might be something that got brought up from the past. These might be feelings pouring out of a very old wound that was just freshly or recently reopened. There's like tension. I can feel it. I wouldn't be surprised if for the majority of people, this was an old stinger that honestly feels like a knife in the gut. I personally believe that the reason we're getting Divinity Reversed is there might be some reflexive decisions to immediately go into a low energy place. Maybe that looks like reacting from that really wounded place. Speaking something or doing something that is directly from a place of old, really hurting injury. What's interesting about this card, when you pull it in reverse, is that it kind of feels like that finger's pointing toward you. And it's funny because we talked about that very briefly when we were talking about the number one today. We talked about pointing the finger, you know, number one on your hand. And how sometimes when we're pointing that out and singling somebody out, we have to remember what's pointing back at us. So we brought that up, and I thought that was an interesting connection here. However, I also, it's interesting, when this card's in reversed, the wrist of the hand is coming out from the word divinity, and it kind of feels, like I said, like it's pointing toward you. And what if we took note or notice for a moment of any kind of defensiveness we're feeling? Feeling like the finger's been being pointed at us. And maybe this is figuratively or literally happening to you right now. And in this same imagery from the card, this just came through really strongly into that kind of all-seeing eye between the bat wings like that on the card. I almost want you to see yourself at the very center pupil of that. It reminds me of this new moon that's coming up, that dark pupil in the center of that eye. And that blue iris around it, then the white of the eye, followed by that final membrane on the very outside. These things feel like the breath and the space in our energy around us and the protection that we hold for ourselves just outside of that. When you look at it in that way, you can kind of see the finger pointing toward that and reminding you to get back to your divinity, to take a deep breath and connect with Source. To take a deep breath, open up to your higher self. When you do this, you will feel validation. You won't feel wronged. You won't feel ignored. And it's also from this place that we can set ourselves free from our resentment, from our fear. I think it's really, really beautiful that we pulled a card with a big blue, I think that's a rose. I think it's supposed to be a blue rose. Sure looks like it. Either way, a blue flower is something that symbolizes healing, healing powers. And I think that's a very, very welcome sign when we pull the Three of Swords. But getting divinity reversed like this tells me that we're in a place of bitterness or anger or pain that's reflecting out as anger for all of it, resentment for all of it, for Source, out at the universe, feeling farther away from your higher self than you could possibly ever be. And that finger pointing inward, pointing back, feels like a really, really strong reminder. Go within. No matter how far away all of that feels, no matter how disconnected all of that feels, we're always already a part of it. I think that when we encounter those Three of Swords situations, grief, death, heartbreak, loss, I think it is so easy for it to feel like an individual, personalized punishment. Like you did something wrong. And this reading as a whole is about this simultaneous perspective of going inward, pulling in where it's necessary, and then naturally allowing yourself to zoom out again. See the full timeline for what it is. That, of course, you, child of Source, are not being specially individualized, punished by the universe. I see you. I know your guides see you too. And I'm thinking of you. As we close out this week, I want you to take some time to go into your chart and take a look at where the moon is this week, where this new moon is happening for you. And let yourself, you know, be aware of the areas of life that are being focused on or highlighted right now. When you're feeling overwhelmed, breathe, breathe, breathe. Ground. Less is more. You're already enough. Trust in the journey. All of those things in your tool bag, right? And I'm really, really excited if you are one of the many people joining us for the I Can Read My Astrology Inside and Out program. We are getting started this coming weekend, and I am beside myself with excitement. I cannot wait. My friends, you have just under a week to sign up. The doors close at 11:59 p.m. this Saturday, the 13th. Right after the end of that Void of Course Moon, which is so funny. This first level of I Can Read My Astrology is going to be one of the most valuable starting points. We are building an incredible foundation in this first level. And I cannot recommend enough, if you are wanting to know how and to feel confident in reading birth charts, this program is for you. There is a reason why even my students that have already taken this course with me, why I'm recommending that if they're in school, they still take it with me again, because that's how valuable this information is. It is the building blocks of astrology. When you go through them the first time, when you go through them the second and third time, each time is solidifying more and more your understanding, the ability to create quality connections for yourself. And this is how we find those words that create these beautiful interpretations and horoscopes. If you are wanting to use astrology in your career, eventually considering becoming a professional astrologer or using it in your work of some kind, I promise you this program is insanely valuable specifically for that, because this program is designed to feel like you have a personal astrology mentor, because we'll all be on Zoom together. I will be teaching live. This gives you the opportunity to ask questions, get help when you're stuck, chat and connect with fellow students in the Zoom chat, which is one of the most valuable things that you can do. It is a game changer when you're able to not just learn this information and hear it being told to you, but to practice it and practice it with other real human beings. But if you really do truly want to get the most value out of this, you got to just enroll as a full-time student in that witch school. It is the most cost-effective way. It will come with all of the features of not just the program, but anything in addition that we add on to it. All of it's going to be accessible to full-time students. And that is just $30 a month. And of course, if for any reason you're just unsure, don't know that you want to do the month-to-month subscription right now, you can join us for each level. You don't have to be in that witch school. For just $99, you can join us and get access to all of our live lessons for level one taking place this January 2024. And you will automatically receive a discount code for level two as well. If you have any questions on this, on what you get, what the course covers, what the structure looks like, anything at all, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. You can always respond directly to any of my emails that I send to you on my newsletter. You can also go to thatwitchnextdoor.com/conjurethatwitch and send me any question that you have. And finally, just remember, if you've been studying and DIYing your astrology practice and trying to learn how to read your birth chart all by yourself, and it is so incredibly frustrating, I just want you to know you are not doing anything wrong. And also, I specifically created this program to help combat those exact feelings and that exact experience, because I lived that experience. So I just completely, completely understand where you're at. Of course, if you can't make it live to any of the live classes within level one or any of our future levels of the program, all are recorded and replays are available to all participants. But this is a really incredible program. I'm just so proud of it and so excited to get started. Again, first class is this Sunday, January 14th, which means registration doors close Saturday at 11:59 p.m. You can go to the show notes right now and enroll as a full-time student in that Witch School, or you can register one time for just level one. Don't hesitate to reach out with any questions, like I said, or any feedback. I am so appreciative, my friend, of your time today and every day. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sending you all my love and all my blessings into this 111 portal, this Capricorn new moon. And I can't wait to talk to you again soon. Make sure that you're staying safe out there. Let yourself have some fun. And of course, stay magical. Questions, comments, suggestions, or just looking for That Witch outside of That Witch podcast, make sure you're following me on social media, over on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and Twitter. You can find links to all of those in the show notes below. And make sure you're subscribed to my email newsletter by going to thatwitchnextdoor.com and submitting your email on the homepage.